Everyone, you're listening to Affirmative Reaction here on SiriusXM Progress Channel 127. I'm your host, Jorge Andres Olivares. Now, I'm very upset that in the 10 years that I lived in New York City, specifically in the Washington Heights neighborhood, that I never encountered these two badass Dominicanas who I'm about to talk to right now. And you've probably seen their work, especially earlier this spring. There was a digital series that Fuse released called Like, Share, Dímelo, and it's two comedians, Sasha Mercy and D Nasty, talking about all sorts of things that if you're Latinx, if you're millennial, if you're a woman, things that you would find interesting from this particular perspective. And so the exciting thing is the digital series has now become a full-blown series for Fuse that premiered on the 21st and, you know, makes sense in time for Hispanic Heritage Month to be able to hear from two young Dominicanas about everything that's happening in life. And in this first episode specifically, talking about what's happening with regards to race, with social justice, and how we are part of that conversation just as much as anybody else is. So excited to talk about identity, talk about comedy, talk about just being able to do the damn thing that they want to do. So very excited to welcome D Nasty and Sasha Mercy to Affirmative Reaction. Thank you all for joining me today.
Hey, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So let's talk first, Sasha, we had a chance to talk a little bit before we got started. You are currently quarantining in LA. Is that where you guys have a chance to film the show, or is it based in New York?
The show is based in LA, yes. It's at the Fuse office in Glendale. So Dee had to fly over here for 2 months, right?
Was it almost 2 months? So like a good 7 weeks, 6 to 7 weeks.
Yeah.
So I love it because you guys are from the New York area. This is where y'all met each other. And I think this is where most people, especially in the New York comedy scene, will recognize your voices. What is it like kind of not being in the same space right now? Dee, you said you're in New York. Sasha, we just talked about how you're in LA. Is it tough not being physically near each other, especially when you're trying to do this really cool creative thing?
Yeah, I think that for the first couple months of the quarantine, it was. And I think it's been kind of tough for a while. She's been living out there for almost 3 months.
Yeah.
I got lucky enough to spend 7 weeks with her, though. But it is kind of tough because she's my friend. And yeah, you know, it's me and Sasha. And then there's our other friend, Tanisha. So it's like a little trio.
Yeah.
So the quarantine split us up completely. Like, Tanisha was in New Orleans, Sasha's in LA. But that's what FaceTime's for.
Exactly. Right. It feels like we're together, even though it's just through technology.
I have pictures of us con la greña with the hair all crazy drinking wine. We would call it like the first couple months of quarantine where we weren't sure how serious it was. And we were like, well, it's an excuse to drink. So we would like call each other a happy hour or whatever.
Yeah, we had like this happy hour FaceTime, Zoom.
Yeah.
Party. It was so funny.
Something that I think a lot of people don't recognize, especially if they're not involved in the comedy scene or involved in just entertainment, is it's still very difficult to be not only Latino in the comedy world, but to be Latina, to be a young Latina who's killing it in this particular field. So I'll start with you, Sasha. What was it that brought you into the world of comedy? Because if I'm not mistaken, that's how the two of y'all met, right? Through the comedy world?
No, we grew up together.
Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, our families have been friends since the 70s, right?
Yeah.
Her aunt and my mom are like soul sisters. So they were friends before we even came into the picture.
Yeah.
So it was like Diosito said that the two of y'all were eventually going to have this.
Yeah, somos prima.
Yeah, we're literally cousins. Somos prima, de verdad. But it's just, you know, not blood.
Yeah. Some might call them play cousins, if you will.
So like, when did you all recognize that both of you, whether D with Sasha and Sasha with D, that y'all had this comedy bone to you, that you had this funny bone that you could exercise in and be able to use it to your advantage?
Well, I think it was, we've always been friends, and we have always been like the ones in the group that make everyone laugh, and like we're always putting on a show. Like, I will say this about Sasha, she can entertain the hell out of anyone. Like, she would sing to us, she would do dances, she would do like whole concerts. And I'm not talking about like when she was 12. This is her like 17, 18, 19.
Yeah, so, that's true. I would always come in and put on a show.
And, like, yeah. But I think it was like part of us to just be funny and just like, that's just what we do. Our families are like that. And I think that's why our families gravitated to each other as well. But I think it wasn't until Instagram came out with their video feature and Sasha started doing the videos and they took off. And the way that I say it is, like, I think there was such a lack of representation, especially for Latinas like us. Latinas as a whole, we're not represented in general. And then even less than that, it's somebody from, like, a Caribbean, Afro-Caribbean background. So she started doing the videos, and she was like, girl, what you doing? You slacking? Because I've always been interested. I would take my little acting classes and stuff. We both did, like, little open mics. But I was like, nah, girl, everybody think we look alike. They're going to think it's me. They're going to think it's you. Like, I want to do it. So Sasha really pushed me to take Instagram and use it as a tool. She's like, it's fun at the end of the day. Like, just do it. And then that's how I started.
Yeah, I started on my break at work, you know.
Yeah.
Anything that me and my girls were talking about at work, I would be like, you know, well, that's funny. So then I'll start doing rants. And then from there on, it just grew into something bigger. And I just remember, I'm like, D, you're the funniest person I know. Like, there's no reason why you're not on Instagram. So that's one of the reasons why I pushed her. But like, I'm so glad I did, because look at what we're doing. Look at what she's done. So
yeah,
really, I was going to say, like, a lot of the reason people are very much familiar with your work, because it did start on social media, that your social media presence kind of escalated you into this particular moment that you're at now. Yeah. So let's talk about social media, because I feel like for our generation, it seems like an extension of who we are to only engage in social media. But what would you say was one of the biggest things you learned from having it be the vessel to bring you to where you are? Like, what were some of the tricks of the trade that you learned that were so specific to social media?
Authenticity is key. And social media is not real, you know? So once you realize that social media is not real, and you don't stifle your creativity because you're worried about what your posts are doing, then it'll give you more of a freedom to, like, focus on how creative you are and then just post what you think is funny to you. Because what happens is, like, that's how I started. That's how me and Dee started. We would post videos that we found funny for us. And then people started liking it. And I fell victim to this where I'm like, oh my God, what else do I have to do for people to like my stuff, right? So it takes me away from my creative process. And so I started at one point, like in my earlier stages of Instagram, started doing things for likes or for followers, right? And then when I completely stopped that again, I realized that my audience grew more, because I was just like, you know what, this ain't real life. This is what's funny to me. I'm just sharing it with the world. And that authenticity, people can see it. And so they gravitate towards it. And that's how it was able to grow.
Yeah. And something that I'll add on to that as well, I think that a lot of people like to make fun of, like, influencers or Instagrammers, but the one thing you can't take away from them is their hustle. I think the biggest, we talk about this actually on the upcoming series of, like, Shadimelo, where we're like, what does it mean to be a celebrity now, right? So nowadays, these kids, or even us, how we started on Instagram, using social media as a platform and a tool, we have taken kind of the reins in how we want to be perceived and how we want to be seen. I think that back in the day, if you wanted to be famous, you would go to an agency, you would get a manager, you know, and you would, like, do an audition. Now, young people today, we're not only consuming content, but we're actually molding and creating it ourselves. So I think, you know, we started off as talent, but I think that even just with Instagram alone, people who are involved in creating talent for themselves on Instagram, they kind of become producers, you know, and they're producing their own content. So when we walked into the show and we started to be hands-on and produce some of it and just be very hands-on in the whole process, pre-production, post-production, and being talent, I think social media definitely gave us a little bit of a leg up on that, because if not, we would have been lost.
And, like, Share Demo is just an extension of what we already do on Instagram, right? We share our opinions, we say jokes, we do sketches. So that is just what we do. So it's basically taking our content that we're doing online and just putting it on TV. And I think that is what's special about this show, that I don't think anyone has seen anything like that. So I'm excited.
So I'm excited to figure out, like, especially since we're having this conversation, Hispanic Heritage Month, it makes sense that the show is premiering during Hispanic Heritage Month. We're talking to Dominicanas, to Latinas who have this perspective that not many people get a chance to hear from. What would you say is the importance for you to have it be at this moment where you share this work with the world?
I think it's important because there's so many women that look like us and they don't have an outlet that expresses the way that they feel, right? So I know that when we first started, a lot of people were able to relate to us because they're like, oh my God, I think the same way. And I never seen anybody in the media speak this way or, you know, are identifying that we exist. So that's why I feel like it's just so important for us because, you know, sometimes people look at me and they just don't know who I am. And I feel like it's important for me to like have this outlet and explain to people like, this is who I am. And there's millions of people that look just like me. So that's why I feel like it's so important.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, Dee, I mean, the show again is called Lecture Dimelo. And what would you say is something that if it comes across on your timeline or somebody shares with you, like what is something that will compel you to share it or you to like it? Like what's the kind of content that drives a lot of your media consumption?
My brain is not a monolith. I'm all over the place. When it comes to liking things, it can go as niche as like, I don't know, like things that literally make no sense at all to people doing pranks on other people. Like I like to see different facets of different content, honestly. I'm someone who, I really enjoy, you know, like stories about other people. I'm really interested in people and I don't like it to be vague. So like one thing that I watch a lot is Great Big Story on Instagram. They always have like little cute anecdotes and things about people from other parts of the world. And I think that's so important because like Sasha said, representation is important, but it's also good to see someone like just existing and living and doing what they love to do or trying to bring change to the world. Those are the things that I spend the most time online watching. Like I'll click on that Insta TV and watch like a 9-minute little doc. And I think it's nice. And I love that right now identity is at the forefront for many people. We're here. We want to like let people know this is what it is. This is what we look like. But sometimes it's also good to see people who are those people who are just existing and don't necessarily feel like they have to defend who they are or what they are. They're like, this is me. I'm a human being. I'm doing this. And that's what captivates me mostly online.
Mm-hmm. I mean, another big component of the show title is the word dímelo. And yeah. I will say, again, having lived in the Washington Heights neighborhood of New York City, which is a heavily Dominican neighborhood for 10 years, I've heard the word dímelo so many times, but I love that it's so specific to Dominican culture and it's so specific to kind of where y'all are from. Nice. So let's talk about making sure that you included that word in the title to be able to show off that sense of pride.
Yeah, we wanted definitely to add that in there for, you know, the show's like Share Dímelo. We're talking about the internet's biggest conversations or topics, right? So it's not always something that's super like something that happened yesterday, but these are like part of larger conversations. Like the first three digital ones were about Latinx, is life a simulation? And the second one was about plastic surgery. So they're not things that are necessarily like just like the hottest bochinche or gossip. It's just really large conversations that have been online for a minute, you know? So we want to, that's where the like and share comes from. Cause it's like, yeah, we'll like that. We'll watch that. We'll see what it's about. We talk to other people, they're sharing it. And the Dímelo is like literally me and Sasha just being us. Two Dominican chicks from the Bronx, from Washington Heights as well. Yeah. Talking like, dime Sasha, what you thought about everything that we just talked about?
Right. And it's like share, tell me about it. Talk to me.
Like share. More blanket.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's true, right? Like, I feel like if there's a common word that's used quite often, I will say that dímelo is, and I think that's very inviting. Like, it's part of the invitation that we as Latinos have to others to just talk to us. It's like, just dímelo. Tell me what's going on. Tell me how we can further whatever discourse we're having.
Exactly.
And I just think that's so fun. And I think that's the best part about the show itself, there's definitely, you can see how much fun you guys are having. So Sasha, let's talk about just the overall nature. You know, Dee talked a little bit about it. Being able to have just creative control over certain aspects of a show that bears your name, that you guys have worked really hard for. And even though there is fun to it, that you're really putting in the hard work to get your vision across.
Well, you know, I started the game editing and doing sketches, right? So I've always felt like I was been hands-on in all of my projects. So this was a bit of a challenge because it was on a larger scale, but it definitely helped me learn about the things that I do and do not need for my for future projects that, you know, I want to work on. But it was something that was very empowering, I would say, because how many people on social media can say, oh my God, like, you know, I went from having a social media to having my own TV show. So Dia and I are very fortunate to be executive producers and be like, no, this is not going to work because I know my audience. We know our audience and we know that they're not going to fuck with this and we know they're not going to fuck with that. So like, you know, we were very vocal about these things because it's important for our people to be seen, you know?
Yeah.
I identify as a Dominican American. So that is a story and that there are stories and that is an identity that has not been shown in the media. And the thing that I find interesting was like when we started filming, it made me realize how unique D and I are because a lot of the times people just didn't know what to do with us, right? So that's when we really took the reins and we were like, okay, this is what people want to see. And I think that was very empowering and special and unique.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one thing to be able to feed off of each other's energy when you're in person. But how difficult has it been to be able to, like, are each of you doing comedy through Zoom? Like, how are you still engaging in that? Or are you just taking a break from that because of how difficult it might be just to tackle that?
Fashion has done a couple of Zoom shows, right?
Shows, yeah.
I haven't. Yeah. I'm someone who I think, especially when I'm doing stand up, I like to engage with the people on the stage. And I think that it's just weird. Like I kind of vibe off of, you know, feedback. And I feel that I haven't even tried it. So maybe I'm just like getting too in my head about it, but I haven't tried it, but I just feel like it's not going to feel good.
Right.
You know, and that's what I like about stand up. It feels good when you're up there and you see people laugh. And even when you bomb, like, my whole mentality is, like, even when I bomb, I get off of there, and I'm like, nobody hit me. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the worst thing in the world. Like, nobody beat me up. So I'm like, all right, cool. But I haven't done any. Like, I think I have taken a little bit of a break online, even, like, with my stories and the things that I normally do online, just because I feel that this was a moment that it was so tragic for so many people across the world and in this country. And then I just needed a break. I think this was a moment where if we were one of the lucky ones who didn't get affected by this disease, then I think it was just a moment of being introspective and self-reflective. And before, you know, going out there to film, that was what I was trying to do the most.
Yeah.
Because it's been a tough time.
Yeah. When I was doing some of the Zoom stand-ups, I was just like in my head about MASH it. I was like, oh my God. But it was interesting because it just reminded me of how much I love being a clown or like not serious, right? And when I heard people laughing on the Zooms, I'm like, oh my God, like this was needed. Like there's so many people that are going through a whole bunch of shit and like maybe comedy for them was something that they would do on the weekend with their friends and whatever. And this is just like a sliver of something that's gonna make it feel like it's normal for them. So like I did take a little bit of time off for social media because I was having all of these emotional breakthroughs, breakdowns, right? But I kind of got back on the horse and was like, you know, my talent is to help people laugh and to help people feel good. And I feel like comedy is healing. And that's one of the reasons why I just keep doing what I'm doing. Even though Twitter right now, anything you say funny, they try to cancel you for it. But at the end of the day, who cares, you know?
I do want to talk a little bit about the special episode you guys had a chance to do when you had a conversation with Amala La Negra. Because I think the important part of that is, one, seeing three badass Afro-Latinas having a very important conversation about race, having an important conversation about what's happening in our country. But also just like showing the world that these conversations are being had within our community, that it's not just, you know, happening in certain pockets. So if you could talk a little bit about having the chance to talk to her about this issue, since I feel like it's not going anywhere. Everyone's gonna be, hopefully it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, the conversation is so necessary, right? Because even when you look at D&I, right, we are this complexion, right? Mm-hmm. But like our families are so many different colors, right? So I have a cousin that's completely like light skin, he's white passing, and then, or I mean, he is white, but he's Latino. And then I have another cousin who's completely black. And it's just like, for us, it's very important to talk about it because as Latinos, it affects us, right? It's not like most American families is like, they're either all white or all black, or like, you know, sometimes they're mixed, but Latinos are known to be mixed.
Yeah.
And so it's very important to let Latinos know, like, this fight is our fight as well, because even though you are maybe white passing or whatever, you still have a cousin or a brother that's darker than you, that we are fighting for them. We are fighting for our families. So I feel like that's why it was an important conversation. Like, from my mom's side, I'm the lightest one, right? So I felt like if I have to speak up to help my brothers push forward, then that's exactly what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm. Something that I love that you mentioned a bit towards the beginning is the fact that you guys have essentially been lifelong friends. Your primas, like, there's a familial vibe that the two of y'all share. That being said, what is something that you, Sasha with D and D with Sasha, and I'll start with Sasha though. What is something you've learned about D, Sasha, through the course of putting the show together, working together, that you did not know was going to be the case?
I'm joking. What I learned is that she has the ability to push through anything. That's what I learned. Like, it's like, no matter how difficult it may feel or may seem, or no matter what it is, she still pushes through that. And I think that that's very admirable. And it's what's going to propel her to a very, very long career. Like, mm-hmm. It's going to really be helpful for her. Yes.
I love that. Dee, what would you say you've learned about Sasha?
I would say the same, and I would also add that she's my best friend. I love it. Nah. I admire the fact that she can keep her cool a lot more than I can. I have a big mouth. But she... Sasha is very mature. I think that Sasha has reached a level of maturity that I have yet to reach in certain situations. And I think that she definitely can keep her composure very well under pressure, which is something that I feel is very important, especially being two young Latinas coming into this realm. You know, we need to keep our boat running smoothly, for lack of a better word. And I think that she does that very well.
Nice. Yeah, well, I'm excited for people to get a chance to see you all on TV now, starting on the 21st of September, going every Monday on Fuse. But the show is called Like, Share, Dímelo. It's hosted by Sasha Mercy and Dee Nasty, my two Dominican neighbors that I never met, but hopefully we'll meet in person at some point. But very grateful to the both of y'all for not only doing this work and being that representation that we need, but for your time today to chat about it.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.